Is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, October 29, 2021. And today will be better than yesterday. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is the Reverend Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my hotel room down in Atlanta, where later today, we hope, they will play game three of the World Series and be talking about the weather coming up with Carl Ravitch. Some news and notes from yesterday. The San Diego Padres have hired the Oakland Athletics manager, Bob Melvin, as San Diego's new manager. According to sources, Bob Melvin's going to get a three-year deal. There's a lot of interesting dynamic to this, whether it's from the Padres' perspective, an excellent hire, or from that of the Oakland Athletics or the whole industry. Like, where were the New York Mets on this hiring? Miguel Rojas has agreed to a two-year, $10 million contract to stay with the Miami Marlins. They lock him up for the next two seasons. Cincinnati Reds pitching coach Derek Johnson has been promoted and given the added title Director of Pitching. Yesterday, he had optional workouts at Truist Park near where I'm sitting today. Dusty Baker spoke with reporters, and he talked about how the Astros have a disadvantage.
It's a bit of a disadvantage that our guys can't really... We're working on it now, trying to get on the field for a few minutes because a lot of these guys have never played here. And somebody informed me the last time he played here was 2017, I guess it was. And that's a long time ago to not be familiar with the, you know, with the field, with the dimensions and the caroms and the corners. So we're going to try to get out there, learn the best we can.
Here's Astros pitcher Luis Garcia, who will start game three.
It's like a dream, to be honest. When we was about to start the series, I thought like, wow, this is incredible. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But now I have to believe the moment, believe it. You know, that's what I think about that.
Here's Rays manager Brian Snitker.
The home crowd, the energy they provide. You're back in familiar surroundings here with this ballpark and everything going on, and I think it does play a definite role in the fact that we do play well here.
Ian Anderson will start game three for the Braves.
I think they've all done a great job so far. I think the biggest thing's probably going to be, you know, limiting that big inning. I think the second inning kind of, you know, spelled us out yesterday, but I think that's going to be the biggest thing. You know, still going to pitch my game, still going to do what I've been doing all year, and try to get us back in the dugout and let those guys do their thing.
Yeah, I'll be talking with Carl and with Sarah Langs about pitching chaos that could ensue here in the remainder of the series because of the injuries that both teams have suffered with their rotation. And we heard this yesterday. PETA has asked Major League Baseball to rename the term bullpen to arm barn. And as someone who grew up on a dairy farm, I've got strong opinions about that. Taylor, what do you think?
Buster, the arm barn thing is, it's a thing. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But first, I want to mention, you can listen to all the World Series games on ESPN Radio all weekend long as the series turns to Atlanta. You tune in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern for pregame coverage. First pitch is about 8:09 every night, I believe. And last call for Swagoo and Perk, ESPN's newest podcast. With Marcus Spears and Kendrick Perkins. Those guys are hilarious. I really am enjoying the show. I used to work with Swagoo on SEC This Morning at SiriusXM before he made it big and was on to bigger and better things. And he's a true talent. So check that out, Swagoo and Perk, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All aboard. It's the Rabby Train with Carl Ravitch.
Carl Ravitch, of course, host of Baseball Tonight during the course of the World Series. How are you doing today, Rabby?
I'm doing very well. Getting set, train set, heading up to Bristol, Connecticut, where we'll be for our pregame shows and postgame shows this evening.
What time are the shows coming on today? I guess it probably depends to some degree on the weather, right?
Assuming that the game is going to be played, we'll be on from 5 to 6 and then SportsCenter at 6 and then 7 to 8 for a full hour leading up to the game, of course, at 8 o'clock.
Yep. All right. Just the last note I gave in the news and notes. PETA's putting out the statement urging Major League Baseball to rename the bullpen from bullpen to arm barn. And I can speak to this firsthand, Carl. I just don't think that if you say bullpen, that it's insensitive to cows. Among all the cows I knew, and I've known a lot of cows in my lifetime,
right?
I don't think any of them would have been offended by the term bullpen. What do you think?
I defer to you on that. You're the expert. You've talked to cows before. And if you're telling me that no cow has ever said to you, Buster, I know you cover baseball for a living. I really would appreciate it if they would consider changing the name bullpen to arm barn. But if that's never been communicated to you, I'm going to take your expertise on that. I do struggle with it, although arm barn is kind of a cute name. I don't mind arm barn. It's neat and kind of speaks to the stable that Kevin Cash once referred to in a sense. But I would imagine that the horses would then speak up a little bit about that as well. So, yeah, whichever direction we go in, it doesn't matter to me. I think it's a lot like old ballparks whose names get changed. Many people still refer to, let's say, the Boston Garden, which obviously has had its name changed to the Boston Garden. I would imagine it's going to take a long, long time if they change the name for people to stop referring to it as bullpen. Maybe we'll just whisper, bullpen. I think these names stick for a long, long time.
Yeah. And I'm someone who, as a kid, I've told you this story in the past. I melded together baseball and my cows. I created this dice game. It was a very simple dice game where I rolled two dice and it would give a result. And the teams that I built, because I just felt like that the real Major League Baseball players were gods. And they, my game was not worthy of them. And the idea of writing Fred Lynn or Jim Rice or Steve Garvey or Ron Say into my dice games, it just didn't seem right. So I use my cow's names, like Rebecca, who was our oldest cow. She was, I worked on body type. She was the first and third baseman in my dice game, had some power. And I'm thinking that, if Rebecca were alive today, she just wouldn't be bothered by that. I can promise you that.
They should consult you. You're an expert on this.
All right. Let's talk about, before we get to game three of the World Series, let's talk about Bob Melvin going to the Oakland Athletics. A great hire. I exchanged a text last night with the Athletics' Tony Kemp and asked him, hey, what do you think? And he said he is the ultimate players manager. Talked about how transparent and honest he is. And he talked about what a great hire this is for the San Diego Padres. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think it's genius. I think it's a credit to AJ Preller, who's made so many moves and many of which you look at and be like, yep, I get that. Ooh, that's a little aggressive. Didn't need to do that. This one seems to sort of be the finishing touch, if you will, and doesn't guarantee World Series success, but boy, that's a pretty cool thing. And I, give credit to the A's who just let him go without any compensation coming back and, still money and deal years left on a deal. It's really good. It just makes sense. And a lot of times in these situations, some of the decisions that teams make, you kind of look at and wonder, I'm not seeing that. This this is a beautiful, brilliant move. It's wonderful for him. He's managed to keep that team competitive with no budget. There's clearly a budget. There are clearly superstar players. And this is in a lot of ways like these general managers who leave Tampa Bay and then go, and in the case of Keim, he goes to Boston where there's money, and obviously Andrew in L.A., and there's money and talent that you're just not necessarily used to. And here's Bob Melvin now leaving Oakland, where there's been talent, but there hasn't been money, and now going to a place where there's talent and apparently money. And let's see how he handles the Ferrari. It's a great opportunity for him. I hope he has success. He's as good as there is in every aspect, from communicating to his players, to dealing with the media, to strategy, to analytics, to old school. And heck, he loves all the restaurants around the country. And here's just another chance for him to dive deep into the San Diego food scene.
Yeah, exactly. We got a note overnight from ESPN Stats and Information that Melvin's been to the playoffs 7 times. The only active managers with more playoff appearances are Tony La Russa, Dusty Baker, Terry Francona, and Joe Maddon. And I got to say, you know, as this process was playing out, because I was hearing, you know, that they weren't really engaged with Bruce Bochy and they weren't engaged with Buck Showalter. I talked to Ron Washington the other day and I asked him, hey, you know, what have you heard? You know, because Wash was the person who finished second to Jay Stengel the last time. And he said, you know, nothing. And you kind of wondered, boy, would AJ Preller make the same mistake again and hire another manager without experience? Right. And I say mistake because that clearly became an issue among the players. He needed to hire a manager with experience. Yep. And nope, they go and hire one of the best guys. So absolute tip of the cap for them for how this played. I agree with you about the Athletics. You know, give the front office credit for giving them, Bob Melvin, the flexibility to go and explore other situations, even while he was under contract. It does also signal in a very, I think, not great way about what's to come for the Athletics. You know, expectation that they're going to slash payroll, and maybe ownership there was happy to shed itself of Bob Melvin and his $4 million a year contract.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, I think a lot of the obligation that they had, you know, is a result of having somebody like that there. Like, the ultra professional never complained publicly about any of the situations that he was presented with. And now you absolve yourself of that, in a sense, responsibility. You clearly should have a responsibility to the fan base there to continue to, provide a product that is competitive. But I do think some of that goes by the wayside when he leaves. It would really be unfair to Melvin to say, look, we're going through this and you're going to be part of it given the soldier status he's established there. But that wouldn't necessarily stop them. But I do think it does. I agree with you. It does absolve them. And I don't know, Buster, is this another example here of recent hirings in Major League Baseball of managers who have experience over the inexperienced young, just analytic guy? This is an indication that didn't work in San Diego. And we do go back to somebody who's done this for a long time, who is very acutely aware of the importance of statistics and analytics and the way we look at the game now, but has that touch of experience, player relations, and that becomes certainly maybe more heavily weighted than what was going on, I'd say, in the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, I agree with you. It feels like the pendulum swinging back the other day, which is why, you know, 3 weeks ago when there was uncertainty about Aaron Boone's situation, the point that, you know, needed to be made was that as far as front offices are concerned, there's not a great field of managerial candidates to go with. And so if the Yankees had moved on from Aaron Boone, the question would have immediately become, okay, great, but then who? And he immediately would have been attractive to other teams because it's not like he's anti-analytics. He has been using these in recent years. He probably, I mean, my God, can you imagine I'm sure Billy Beane, who is the great ties to USC, would have probably been all over him.
Yep.
If he was looking for a manager today. So Bob Melvin, 100%. Yeah, really highly. Yeah.
No, 100%. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. And that acts without having the crystal ball. I think you just nailed it. If Bob Melvin were allowed to go to San Diego and Aaron Boone was a free agent, gosh, he's at the top of that list in Oakland. You're 100% right. That's a great call.
And meanwhile, all these teams are making moves. You got hitting coaches being hired and pitching coaches being hired and promoted. In the case of Derek Johnson, Bob Melvin moves to the Padres, and the Mets are standing at the street corner and watching the traffic zoom by. It's amazing because it feels like Bob Melvin would have been a perfect choice for them.
I don't really understand it. Sandy's got a lot of respect in the industry. I understand that the owner, is very out there when it comes to social media, but that's also an owner that's got a lot of money. It's an owner who's invested in this franchise, who wants to see this thing win, worse than anybody, at least that I can come up with, as far as ownership goes. I'm confused, Buster, by the inability of that organization to land, to land a front office. I don't really understand it. And I've yet to see anybody explain to me why they're hesitant or running away from it, other than he'd be a hard guy, to work for. Like, I don't know. I most of these people that are in front offices have the ability to figure out environments. That's why they're good at what they do. They can walk into a clubhouse and deal with personalities and cultures and people from different countries. So is this the hill that everybody is looking at and saying, I'm not going to go die on that because of ownership? I'm struggling with what the repellent is for all of these individuals. I don't really get it.
I think it comes down, Carl, to one phrase, and that is chain of command. That, especially with these, the modern generation of front office folks, they want a predictable, reliable chain of command. What they don't want to wonder is the owner going to be tweeting out injury information before they're prepared to release it? Is the owner going to tweet out that a game has been postponed before they're going to release it? Are they're worried about whether or not, Francisco Lindor is going to become really close friends with the owner and then, help to dictate moves like trading for Javier Baez? That's all part of the conversation going on right now. And it's been interesting because it does feel like that there are a number of people who the Mets have been interested in. And those people have been like, yeah, you know what? I'll engage a little bit. I'll flirt a little bit. And then I'll use that opportunity to better my situation with my current team. But I don't want to go into that place where there's questions about the chain of command. Does that make sense?
To some extent, I would need to know how much the flirtation goes. The idea right. that I'm interested, but I'm not really going to talk to them. I understand very, very little about that. I would think that my first goal would be to go in there and have a meeting and have an interview and flush these things out. But I don't think you can let hypotheticals and fear own you. When you are afraid of the unknown and you become paralyzed by it, I think that's a great risk. I don't relate to that. I think that you've got to go in there and say, I'll figure this out. It's a unique opportunity. You have the conversation. You try to the best that you can, make sure that any injury news is going to come from this office and not from that office. And if ownership or someone else is unwilling to acknowledge that's how this is going to work, well, then you can say, okay, well, I can't deal with that. But I'm not going to worry about who Francisco Lindor is going to befriend or not befriend or things like that. That's part of my job, to set a culture and establish a culture. So I'm willing to embrace that challenge with certain parameters in place that I think most organizations would acknowledge are acceptable or not acceptable. Yeah, I would. So I'm not fully on board with, again, what this reluctance or inability to get people in there is. I don't quite get it.
So, someone who I think obviously shares your perspective to some degree is Perry Manassian, the general manager of the Angels. Artie Moreno's got a reputation being difficult. Sometimes he can be upset. He can go and, do negotiations directly, as he did with Albert Pujols. And I think Perry's perspective, and he hasn't said this to me, but I'm just guessing because that stuff was all out there, that he basically decided, you know what, there are 30 opportunities here to run baseball operations in yeah. the world. And this is someone who has a lot of money. They got the best player in baseball in Mike Trout. This is when he took the job. They have this incredibly talented two-way player in Shohei Ohtani. I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my shot.
He and I think exactly alike. That's what
exactly.
I'm
doing. We've got weather issues here in Atlanta. It looks like it's going to rain tonight. The forecast hourly is not horrific, but it's not great. We'll see if they wind up getting a postponement tonight. The hourly forecast for Saturday is much better. It, you know, cloudy and not great weather for baseball, but still a lot better than what they expect today. And boy, if there's a postponement tonight, Carl, it would throw these two pitching staffs already yeah. facing major challenges into absolute chaotic mode.
It would. And I think, you know, my guess is it would require them to play on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Good yep. luck. I mean, it just becomes an absolute war of attrition, and it changes. I mean, I think that if I look at these two teams right now, I would slightly favor Houston just given the Morton injury. And certainly that would increase if there was a rainout. But it also means that an Astros pitching staff and an Astros bullpen, which has been used like many others, becomes a much greater part of the equation. A rainout tosses the whole thing into complete disarray, and it will become just that. It's the survival of the, and I don't even know if fittest is the right word, because I don't think any team at this stage of the season is fit to go 5 days in a row. I don't, especially with these two offenses and what they're both capable of. It would be a nightmare. It would also be very interesting and fascinating, and make the series as unpredictable as any perhaps series we've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, from what I've been told on the Braves side, they literally feel like they'll be making pitching decisions from day to day, where it's like, okay, we saw what happened in game three. Here's who is available in game four. How can we piece this together? And the cool thing is, no matter who wins, whether it's the Astros or the Braves, pitching heroes are going to emerge, you know, and maybe that's Zach Greinke, you know, who looks like he's lined up to start game four. You know, maybe it's going to be Kyle Wright, which would be a fun story.
I think a lot of it has to do with who's hot. Like the idea that Kyle Wright looks so good for, you know what, we got to try him. And he looked great for one inning. So he's coming. We got to use him. And I do. I think it is minute to minute, day to day, last impression, next impression.
All right. Tell me what you think is going on with Alex Bregman. I did a segment on SportsCenter today about him, how he looks completely lost. And I think what's a little bit shocking about this is that you and I, since he broke into the big leagues, has oozed confidence. Like Derek Jeter. He reminded me in his early years of his career of a guy like Derek Jeter, where he just walked into the ballpark, assuming he was going to get two hits and that he was going to kick somebody's rear end. And to watch him, as I described yesterday, you know, taking round after round after round after round of batting practice and reviewing his swings from batting practice on an iPad between rounds, you're like, wow, this is a different guy right now. He had 113 in the last 14 games of regular season. You know, in that division series, had some nice moments, but in the last two rounds, batting 167.
Yeah, this is not a guy I recognize at all. I mean, and the one that I would always relate him to was Dustin Pedroia. And Dustin Pedroia, as you know, there are great stories about going back to Colorado after taking Jeff Francis deep, and somebody didn't recognize him when he was trying to walk into the stadium. And he said, just go ask Jeff Francis who the hell I am. That was who Alex Bregman was. There was a confidence and a cockiness and an arrogance. And the other part of it to me, maybe more importantly than anything, there was a joy about him. He loved the game. He loved the competition. He loved his teammates. I'm not sure what role George Springer plays in all this as sort of a foundational piece in that clubhouse. But I don't think that you're dependent on somebody being there for your attitude and actions and all those things. I'm really surprised at where he's at. What effect the 2017 scandal had on him, and perhaps it's a, you know, it's a hangover thing with him, and others are not as affected by it. I don't know, but I do know this is a person and a player that is, that's unrecognizable. And I know, you know, on Baseball Tonight, we did that whole thing with Jess Mendoza, where he'd take a swing and he'd finish a round and he'd immediately go to the video. Like, there was something about him, and we all know the legendary stories at LSU and his turning on car headlights so he could work out. And he was a, you know, dedicated as anybody to the craft. But that idea that it's become so in his head, like, I got to get my hands inside. He just struck me as the guy I'd want on my team, because I know we're good here. He's going to fight like hell, and he's probably still, I know he's doing all those things, but boy, there's just a, you know, there's a tire that's flat, and that's never how I perceived him. And I think he, you know, obviously the team and he are better off if he can get that mojo back.
Last one for you. The Braves hosting game 3 of the World Series, and you would assume that there are probably going to be some protests there. There's a lot of conversation about the team name. We've seen the Washington football team change its name. We've seen the Cleveland baseball team change its name. I think it's only a matter of time, Carl, before the Atlanta baseball franchise changes its name. It's, you know, and I don't know when that's going to happen, but, you know, given the, you know, the trends in the world and I think in this country and the corrections that are being made, I think the sooner the better in terms of the franchise making the adjustment. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it's indefensible.
Yes, that's coming. That's apparent that's going to happen. I'm sure it's going to be fought. I know that you know, the comments from Rob Manfred about regionalization and the connection between the area and Indians is critical and important. You know, I think what he was trying to do was kind of stand there and let everyone know we are aware, but we're also aware of the history and the importance. And I know that that certain communities were very upset with what he said. So I just don't think that you can get in the way of what appears to be a massive movement throughout the country for these things to be, as you said, corrected. And this will be, this feels like it's certainly going to be another one. I mean, it's happened in the sports world. It's coming here.
In some respects, when I saw the reaction, and it was a strong reaction to what Rob said, I kind of shook my head a little bit, because I don't think anyone should take him seriously when he speaks to an issue like that. Because to me, this is a reminder, he's a lawyer for the teams. Like, right, that's what he was speaking of. He's an advocate for the teams. He's not someone who is sitting in a throne and he's representing the interests of all baseball fans. He's a lawyer for the Atlanta Braves baseball franchise. Right. And that's where that perspective is coming from. And he's waiting for his employer to essentially make a decision. And then Rob will say something different. And that's just the reality of the moment. All right, Carl, I appreciate it.
Buster, talk to you soon, buddy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
0096.
This is The Numbers Game with Sarah Langs.
Sarah Langs, reporter and producer for MLB.com. Sarah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Buster. Can't wait for more baseball.
Yeah, you're fretting about the weather like a lot of people. That was the first one you popped up on Zoom this morning. It was the first thing that you mentioned. We'll wait and see, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're there. You can give us a little bit more on the ground reporting. But I was reading weather.com late last night. Did not enjoy seeing the word numerous next to showers, but fingers crossed.
Sarah, Carl and I were talking about the struggles of Alex Bregman. Tell me what you're seeing in him.
Yeah, it does seem like he just doesn't look like the player that we saw be so successful in October and in the regular season over the last few years. I mean, I know this year was a bit of a struggle with injury and everything else, but kind of seems to be maybe swinging too hard, something like that. But we know how impactful he can be for this Astros offense. And I feel like when I'm watching him at the plate, I'm just waiting for something to click and him to get back to being that super impactful Alex Bregman that he's been so much in the past.
Yeah, it seemed like there's so many situations in past postseasons when he come to the plate with a runner at third base and you're like, there's no doubt he's going to find a way, you know, to get ahead, to drive in a run. And he did get a sacrifice fly to get the Astros their first run in game two. We'll see if he builds on that. All right, let's play the numbers game.
Number three is five.
So speaking of that Astros offense, they have not really been struggling overall, even with Bregman struggling a bit. They've won seven games by five or more runs this postseason, which is tied with the 2007 Red Sox for the most in a single postseason. And they've scored five or more runs in 10 games this postseason, which is tied for the second most in any single postseason, trailing only the 2015 Royals, who had 11. Now, of course, that is a bit dictated by more and more rounds, more and more games that you can play, but it's still showing you that most of the time this postseason, they've put up at least five runs.
Number two is six.
So I thought this was really fun looking into this yesterday. Truist Park will become the sixth ballpark where the Braves will play World Series home games. That is two more than any other franchise. So we have Truist Park, Turner Field, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, Milwaukee County Stadium, Braves Field, and Fenway Park. So just pretty incredible. And of course, our friend Todd Radom, when I tweeted this out yesterday, responded and said he went to the first World Series home game for them in 1999 at Turner Field and was sitting there thinking this is going to be the first of many. It ended up being the first of two.
Number three. Number one.
Number one is 1995. So the Braves' last World Series game win at home was in 1995 in World Series Game 6, October 28th. That's what they won to clinch that World Series. So they've lost five straight World Series home games, which is the longest active streak. The only streaks of more than five straight World Series losses at home are the 1961-72 Reds, who lost seven straight, 1918-35 Cubs, who lost seven straight, and then six game streaks by the Yankees and the Tigers. So if the Braves don't win tonight, they would be joining that list.
All right. What do you think of the phrase arm barn?
I thought that that was the exact type of email that everyone who covers baseball gets on a World Series off day in terms of these PR pitches that we get. I think they got the appropriate reaction that they were probably looking for. And I think all things aside, arm barn is a very fun phrase. Do we need to change it? Is this a request for attention? Whatever else that, you know, we can, I think I've made it clear what my thought is there, but just separately, like I would love to use that phrase in some way because it's fun. It rhymes. I enjoy it.
Yeah. And I think you'll agree with me. It will be used by some writer next year. No question about it. Maybe you, maybe me.
Absolutely. I mean, now it feels like one of those things you just slide into an article when you don't want to say bullpen again, say arm bar.
I know. Right. Exactly. Now it's because we're having a fun conversation about it, makes it more tongue in cheek as well. Exactly. All right. Sarah, thanks for doing this. We will talk to you on Monday.
Thanks so much for having me, Buster. Enjoy the game.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America or all around the world. Or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well, Buster. It's World Series Friday. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was talking with Carl Ravitch about the conversation this week about the name for the Atlanta baseball franchise. And my perspective is, look, it's only a matter of time before it gets changed. We saw it happen with the Washington football team. We saw it happen with the Cleveland baseball franchise. it's an indefensible position that eventually the franchise will relent. And I was a little bit surprised that there was such a strong reaction to what Rob Manfred said, because I don't think of Rob as being this neutral arbitrator who's, you know, is seeking, the high ground and the absolute truth and the best possible way. I think of him as being a lawyer for the Atlanta baseball franchise. What do you think?
Buster, I agree with you. The days of an independent commissioner, the likes of Bart Giamatti or Faye Vincent, these are long gone. Rob Manfred's job is to protect the bag, to increase revenue, to steer the ship of state straight forward and avoiding controversy and, you know, being an advocate for one of these 30 clubs is what he's all about. So, of course, he is in this case, especially at this time in the middle of a World Series, going to take that kind of position. No surprise.
No, and you think of it, you know, like we'll see these cases that'll play out on television and there'll be someone on trial and his lawyer will say he's completely innocent. That's Rob's job for these teams.
Buster, I have a very close friend of mine who is a high-powered defense attorney who has defended some very unsavory people very publicly. I see his face all over the news on occasion. And, you know, in private moments, he will say to me, listen, everybody's entitled to a defense. This is part of our system. And I think Rob Manfred would say that all of those people who pay his salary are entitled to, that kind of thing. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. I think that through its time, PETA has done great work on behalf of animals. In this case, Armbarn. I don't get it. I said to Carl Ravitch, I don't think cows are literally offended by the term bullpen. What do you think?
Well, you are our bovine witness. You can attest to all things in terms of being an expert witness for cows, Buster. And I think that we do live in an age of contrived controversy. How about that? So PETA, which I will agree with you, they do great work. I like animals. I have a cat. I think what they did is they wouldn't look at it this way, but they put some bait on the hook and they cast a thing into the water and they got what they wanted, because here we are talking about this. Of course, this is never going to happen. I was thinking yesterday, there is a bullpen entrance at Citi Field. They'd have to redo the sign there. Right. I mean, it's never going to happen. And the word bullpen, I mean, it's very, I saw the official MLB historian, John Thorne, tweeting about this yesterday, the origins of the word. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Taylor, I know every day you try to come up with a title for the episodes that we do with the podcast. And I think contrived controversy, yes, will probably be the title for today's podcast.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Good call.
Nice.
As soon as Todd said that, I'm like, there you go. Taylor's like, check that box. All right. Now, let's see if that's all Taylor gets right today. We've got this week's quiz. What do you got for us, Todd?
Week 33, gentlemen. And Buster, you kind of led the witness as a high-powered defense attorney. So here we go. Long before they were the Atlanta Braves, they played in Boston, where they went by a number of nicknames before becoming Braves. Which one of these nicknames did they not go by? Was it A, Bean Eaters, B, Doves, C, Lobstermen, or D, Rustlers? They were not one of these. The Bean Eaters, the Doves, the Lobstermen, or the Rustlers.
Taylor, what do you got?
I'm leaning Lobstermen or Bean Eaters. Let's go Lobstermen.
I'm going to go with Doves, B.
Taylor, yes. You are the man this week. The Lobsterman was never a name for the Boston National League franchise. The Doves, however, Buster, for the owners, the Dovey brothers. They were Doves. They were also the Rustlers for one season in honor of owner William H. Russell. And yes, they were bean eaters. They ate beans in Boston in the late 1890s. So Taylor, congratulations, my friend.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
I know. Just, I think we're going to get tweets about this.
In the nick of time here.
Right. You wanted one last piece of success to build on for next year, for sure. Yeah, Taylor, for you sure. must be feeling good.
It's like a bowl win in college football. It doesn't really mean that much, but it could set you up for success come next season. So I'm pleased with my victory today.
Yeah, the Armbarn Bowl, sponsored by
Major League Baseball.
By PETA.
Oh, there you go. That would you want to get attention? You can invest some money into a bowl sponsorship. How about that? However, we would have to reassess what footballs are made of. But we've gone down this track like in a weird direction. So I'll just leave it there.
Okay. Todd, thanks for doing this. Always great to talk to you.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a glorious Friday. Eric Sorensen is up first at Coach Sorensen 9. I believe Eric is a fellow farmer as well. Yep. He writes in, really curious your take on PETA wanting to change the name of the bullpen. This is ridiculous. Things are getting out of hand if this happens. Buster, you've made it pretty clear where you stand on this.
Yeah, Eric, I agree with you. I mean, it's a bridge too far, but I think Todd nailed it. PETA's like, how can we get people talking about PETA?
100%.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about Armbarn.
Go away. Like, go do something, you know, more useful with your time, PETA, please. Adam Wolf is up next at Adam Wolf Horn writes in, hey, Rev and Buster. So, yeah, World Series or whatever, but leave it to Preller to shock us all hiring Melvin away. How do you like how this coaching staff is shaking out? What can the Friar faithful expect from Melvin?
Yeah, I thought it was exactly the right type of person. They needed to have someone with experience and with credibility with players. And Bob Melvin has that. I'm sure that, you know, the last few days as word probably was filtering throughout the San Diego organization that Melvin was being considered. They're probably text messages to current San Diego players from other players saying, you know what, you're really going to like this guy. Like that text I mentioned that I got from Tony Kemp last night.
The Padres hiring Bob Melvin kind of seems like a like when we had Ravi do the who wants to be a billionaire bit when we were like, yeah. OK, what would you do? It'd be like, oh, I'd go sign Bob Melvin. And that's kind of what they did. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're talking about the Mets at that time, and right. They're not doing what Ravi would have recommended.
Yes, exactly. Brian Roll is up next at Brian Baseball 5. He writes in, wow, Bob Melvin leaving seems like a huge loss for Oakland. Who do you see replacing him?
Somebody who has a salary that can be measured in six figures and not seven, you know, because it looks like this winter there's going to be some major cost cutting. You know, that we might see Matt Olson in the trade market. You wonder about Matt Chapman, other useful pieces. It could be a really difficult winter for Oakland fans.
As the owners put their hands out for $12 billion from the cities of Oakland, San Francisco. Ernesto Cedillo writes in, Joey Gallo qualified as a finalist for Silver Slugger at DH and Golden Glove in right field. How does the voting get tabulated that makes this possible? A lot of people incredulous about Joey Gallo making these lists.
Yeah, I don't understand the DH thing, right? That's the one that surprised me because it's pretty clear he's an outfielder. He's a really great outfielder. I don't know. It feels like they tried to squeeze a name in and to, you know, to be more inclusive with a wider range of players. That didn't make any sense to me.
Last one for the week, Paul Swanick at Welsh Brewer 70. Paul writes in, Buster and Rev, just heard an NFL podcast here in the UK. The mayor of London has said that Major League Baseball will be returning next year to London. What have you heard? Are we taking the pod international, Buster?
I would love to be in London next year for games. That would be a lot of fun. I went back the first time they played, you know, that weekend when we had the Yankees and the Red Sox in London. Man, what a trip that was. That was and it felt like a different time as well. Right.
Yeah, for real.
Like pre-pandemic where you could, you know, go over there and I'm jumping on a plane. And I think I told you went on a tour of Normandy one day. And it was that was a great experience. That would be fun to have that again. You know, maybe we'll see the Cardinals and the Cubs over there next year.
A lot of fun. And hey, real quick, Buster, as we wrap up, all the Alex Bregman talk has inspired me to ride the under for his hits tonight. as I place my bets for the evening. So I'm sure it's at 0.5. So, you know, if he gets a hit or not. So I'm going to go under because you're saying he's all out of sorts. It's been hitting recently. So that's what I'm going with. How do you feel about
that? I must say there are not many times where I, you know, you watch a player because I'm not a player, but you can almost literally see the thought bubbles over his head. That's the way it feels right now. Like, oh, that was my swing. And again, as I was saying to Carl, it's just the complete opposite of this great instinctual player that we saw in the first years of his career. And it'll be interesting to see if he works his way through during the course of this series. I know, you know, I think I related the story that Dusty Baker has talked about. Boy, he takes a lot of batting practice. And I asked Dusty, I said, Dusty, I know you well enough to know you probably mentioned that to him. And he kind of smiled. He goes, yep. And the response was, thanks, Skip. okay, Skip. And it was like, I'm moving on. I've got my process and Dusty's going to respect that.
All righty. Well, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter as you're watching all three games this weekend. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you consume your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Ravi, Sarah, Todd, and Taylor, the Rev. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.